It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a Madison library is hosting its second Drag Queen Story Hour. We'll find out where the idea came from, and we'll hear from the performer about what it's like to read in front of a family audience. First, the Wisconsin Assembly approved the $3 billion incentive package for Foxconn yesterday. The Taiwanese electronics manufacturing company is planning to build a $10 billion facility in southeastern Wisconsin. Laurel White has been following the story. She covered the assembly session yesterday. She's WPR's state capitol reporter. Laurel, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what exactly got approved? I'm sure broad strokes here. I'm sure there are a lot of fine points here.
Yes. So what got approved in broad strokes was the $3 billion incentive package for Foxconn, which includes some tax incentives for them and some waiving of environmental regulations for the state, like reversing the course of streams, building on lake beds, filling in wetlands, things like that.
This passed almost on a party line vote. Can you talk about the exception? Some Republicans voted against, some Democrats voted for.
That's right. It was a really interesting vote. We don't see folks crossing party lines all that often in the Capitol on high-profile things like this. So there were three Democrats that joined 56 Republicans in voting for the deal. Those three Democrats were Peter Barca of Kenosha, Todd Onstad of Kenosha, and Corey Mason of Racine. So those are all folks, all lawmakers that represent areas that Foxconn is expected to locate. It's supposed to be, you know, in southeastern Wisconsin. And I think we have some tape from Corey Mason, who's the Democrat from Racine, a speech that he gave before he cast his vote last night.
Yeah, here's a listen.
When you hear the voice of hope and doors that you knock on and constituents who are hoping for a better future, all the politics fades away.
I understand some of the Democrats who voted in favor of it had concerns, but couldn't, as Representative Mason said, close the door on that hope, as they put it.
That's right. And, you know, I think it's important to note here that Corey Mason is actually running for the mayor of Racine right now. So he's out there, he's talking to constituents, and his feedback was, you know, I just heard too many people that from my area that supported this, that were excited about this, the opportunity for up to 13,000 families supporting jobs in a community that had manufacturing as a real driver of its economy for a while and is lacking that right now. So he said that, you know, that was compelling enough for him to move away from the majority of Democrats that voted against the package.
I also want to give a listen to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, a top Republican in the Assembly. He also represents the southeastern part of the state. Here's a listen to his encouragement for passage of this legislation.
What we need to do more of is we need to invest in things when we look at it like a field of dreams. It's a field of dreams just beyond the interstate when you're driving down I-94 between Milwaukee and Chicago. It's a field of American dreams. It's careers that people can buy a home and send their kids to college. And when they graduate from college, they don't have to leave and go to another state. They can stay right here in Wisconsin.
And a lot of Republican supporters of the legislation talked, maybe not in such poetic terms, but in similar kinds of language, didn't they?
That's very true. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss certainly has a tendency to be very poetic about things that he's very invested in and engaged with. He gives kind of lofty speeches sometimes, and this is something that he said was one of the most exciting pieces of legislation that lawmakers were likely to vote on this session. And you heard in that little kind of mini clip of his speech, he touched on several different points that supporters of the package hit on again and again last night during debate. And the last thing he said there was people from Wisconsin who grew up here, go to school here, staying in Wisconsin. And that's a point that supporters have made rather frequently. They talk about Wisconsin's brain drain, so people who graduate from college here and then move out of state because there aren't opportunities for them. They say that Foxconn will reverse that, that people are going to be excited, they're going to want to stay here, work in high-tech manufacturing, and be a part of this new economy in the state.
Talking to Laurel White about the Foxconn legislation that passed in the state assembly yesterday, still needs to go to the state senate to be completely passed. I want to get into some of the opposition to this, Laurel. Gordon Heintz of Oshkosh, one of the Democrats who voted against, here's a listen to someone he had to say yesterday.
The three pillars of economic development where state government can play a significant role should be in infrastructure, education, and entrepreneurship. And they require long-term investments by state government. The opportunity costs of not investing in transportation, the future education of our children, and further incentivizing and supporting entrepreneurship in order to make cash payments to a foreign company worth billions is not worth it.
And that price tag is part of the concern from Democrats there, some Republicans, and some conservative groups. What kind of things did people say about the $3 billion in incentives?
So what Hintz is hitting on there is really one of the primary arguments that opponents have made, is that it's just this deal is too risky and too expensive for taxpayers. So we saw in the analysis that came out from the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau last week that at its peak, so at the most expensive, when the state is projected to pay out the most money to Foxconn, it's going to be about $325 million a year. So it would be more than $600 million over a biennium. And lawmakers will have to figure out how to fit that into a state budget. And the point that Hintz is making there is it's possible that if the economy declines, that other programs are going to have to get cut so the state can continue to pay what it's committed to pay Foxconn for creating jobs and making capital investments. So that was really a consistent point that Democrats and those opposed to the bill hit on many times during debate, that it's just expensive, there aren't enough protections, it's too much money over 15 years.
One question that's been raised, an issue on both sides, is how many jobs, how big an investment will this actually be coming from Foxconn? What sorts of concerns were raised there?
Well, the primary concern there is that Foxconn is not going to create up to 13,000 jobs, which is the maximum number projected right now for the facility. But also that, you know, even if it does create that many jobs, that some of the folks employed there are going to come from Illinois. So it's not going to be entirely Wisconsin residents. And there's kind of a spinoff to that concern as well, that some of the construction companies that would help build Foxconn or suppliers that provide the materials that they need would be Illinois companies, not Wisconsin companies. So people were trying to put amendments on the bill that would require Foxconn to hire Wisconsinites. Now, that's, as opponents to those amendments say, in violation of the Constitution. They can't do that. But it's certainly a concern that people have that it's not going to be 13,000 Wisconsin jobs.
And then there are other concerns about the environment. There are waivers that are part of this bill that would allow Foxconn to do a variety of things that would normally need a permit without that permit. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so those are things like, you know, reversing the course of a stream, which you currently need a permit from the state to do that, filling in wetlands, building on lake beds. Those are things that you need a state permit to do. Foxconn would be able to do that without getting a state permit. And opponents to the bill say that that's just too much, that Foxconn should be held accountable in the same way that businesses in Wisconsin are held accountable right now, that they shouldn't get special treatment and get these things waived. There is also the argument, one of the Republicans that voted against the bill thinks that everyone should be granted the things that Foxconn is granted in this legislation, that there shouldn't be special treatment, but those waivers should apply to everybody, which is an interesting angle.
This is passed now in the Assembly, not a done deal yet. The Senate would have to get into this. What do things look like there?
So we just heard earlier today that the Senate has announced a public hearing on the Foxconn package. That's going to be at 11 a.m. on Tuesday in Sturtevant, which is about 30 miles south of Milwaukee. It's near Racine, in the area where Foxconn is expected to build. So that's the first step in the Senate process, the public hearing. Then, of course, we'll get the vote in a committee from the Senate, and then it'll go to the floor. So the process is rolling starting Tuesday of next week.
I had seen a comment from someone who said, hey, this is a budget item and needs to go to the Joint Committee on Finance, the Budget Committee. Is that true?
Yep, that's what's going to be hearing it on Tuesday. That's
okay, not just the Senate. That's Joint Finance.
So, yeah, the Senate actually referred it to Joint Finance. So, yeah, and that usually happens with bills with this kind of financial fiscal implication. So $3 billion, it's expensive. Folks wanted it to go through the Finance Committee.
Is there any indication that this thing won't pass ultimately?
I don't think that there's any expectation that it won't pass. We've heard that from legislative leaders pretty consistently. We've heard from Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald that he doesn't expect the Senate to make any major changes to the bill as it is right now. So we're not aware of any prevailing concerns, I guess you would say, in the Senate that would keep it from passing.
Now, this passed in the Assembly yesterday. Also, the Assembly passed a resolution unrelated to this one involving the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia last weekend. What was in that resolution?
So they kicked off session yesterday, which was, of course, focused on the Foxconn bill, with a nod to the violence in Charlottesville. They actually had a prayer from five different leaders from different religious faiths. Normally, there's just one prayer. And then they passed the resolution that you mentioned, which specifically condemned white supremacists, the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, and, quote, all those who rely on violence and hatred to advance their cause. So they unanimously passed that resolution, and a few lawmakers stood up and spoke to its importance as well.
All right, Laurel, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Laurel White, WPR's state capitol reporter. She brought us up to date on the $3 billion incentive package for Foxconn. That plan passed the Assembly yesterday and moves on to the state Senate.